Hello, everyone, again, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Cough on a Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you just about a subject that I feel a lot of people today are wondering about, and that is, does God really want good things for me? And once again, you know, when we talk about good things flowing down from the Father of lights, and in Him there's no shadow of turning, that's what the Scripture says, that means that God wants good things for us. Does it always mean always money? No, it means everything else. See, not only does God want to bless us, yes, financially, and that's great and wonderful, and we so apply that, do we not? Because we all need money. You know, Ecclesiastes says money answers all things. Do you realize that? You know, it literally says God said in His Word in Ecclesiastes that money answers all things. That basically means that, you know what, if you have money in this world, it'll get you going places. It'll buy you things. It'll speak for you. And so, therefore, you know, we thank God so much that in the covenant of God, that God desires and wants us to be able to even be blessed financially, and we really thank God for that. But you know, there's so much more in the New Testament and the Old Testament of the things that God desires for us, and I want to take more of a spiritual approach today for a couple of minutes on basically understanding, does God really want good things for us? And I want to take the Scripture today that many of you might have heard before, but I want to sort of put it into a different context today, and that is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read a scripture where it talks about the bodies and the body being a member, many-membered, you know, people, which is basically saying that everybody is a member in the body of Christ. And one scripture that really sort of stands out to me in 1 Corinthians actually says, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." So what does God say here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? He's letting us know in verse 18, 19, 20, and even down to through verse 26, He's letting you know that, you know what, you are accepted. You're accepted. That when you're in the body of Christ, you're accepted. And here's where a lot of people miss it, okay? And that is this: you're different. You're different because you were created to be different. You were created to think differently. You were created because the Bible says every joint supplies. That's what the Bible says. And here in 1 Corinthians, it's letting you know, how can the hand say to the arm, I have no need of you? You know, how can the head, and let's just sort of add to that if we could. And that is, how could the head say to the feet, I have no need of you? How could the feet say to the eyes, I have no need of you? How could the eyes say to the arm, you know, I have no use for you? The reason why, because God is letting you know that every function of your natural body plays a totally different role in life, does it not? Plays a totally different role in your existence, which means my eyes on my face see things. They see things that my hand can't see, my feet can't see. Could you imagine my hand and my feet and my arms and my legs? They're probably wanting to know, what is it that we're seeing? What are we seeing? And the only way to really know what's truly being seen is when the eyes, I believe, tells the body, hey, this is what I'm seeing. And let's just face it, folks, you know, when you see, let's say, for example, you see with your eyes, so let's say, for example, you watch a horror film. Let's say you're watching some bloody, you know, killing horror film, for example. We have to use an extremity here, folks, to where I can put my point across. And so, let's say you're watching some horror flick, okay, and then all of a sudden, you know, you jump, your body jumps when maybe someone comes and kills somebody or stabs them or shoots them or, you know, comes out behind the couch and scares them, you know, or whatever. Your body jumps, and sometimes your body even gets like almost like you know, goosebumps, does it not? Or sometimes you get that cold chill upon you. Why is that? Because what the eyes have seen, it alerts the body to tell the body, hey, let me tell you what I've just saw. And guess what happens? In its report back to the body, it reports to the arms about the goosebumps. It reports to the whole body about jumping, you know, back in your seat. It reports maybe a cold chill, a feeling, and so an emotion of fear or scares. And so it's the same when you begin to see like a newborn baby. Or maybe let's say, for example, you're walking down the aisle to marry your husband or your wife, and all of a sudden, you know, you look in his or her eyes, and all of a sudden you're sitting there going, you know, I get this warmth over my body, you know, or you get this tear in your eye or whatever. Why? Because the eyes are, you know, is alerting. The eyes are alerting the entire body, you know, hey, let me tell you what I'm viewing. What I'm viewing is a beautiful moment. What I'm seeing is a magnificent. And so guess what? The whole body longs to see what the eyes are seeing, you know, where the feet are walking, you know, the arms, the my stomach, you know, my chest, my ears, they can't really feel, my feet walking on something hard or rough or soft. You know, could you imagine if you're walking in the rain barefooted? You know, now even though your whole body would feel the rain, but let's say you're walking through a puddle and your feet are the only ones getting wet, and could you imagine that maybe the water's cold? Isn't it amazing that my feet can walk through a, let's say, a cold puddle, and all of a sudden those chills start running up your legs, is it not? Because, oh man, my feet is alerting my legs, my arms, everything else. Man, what I'm stepping in is cold, and here's what it feels like. And so guess what, folks? The body needs every single part, and every joint will supply and tell the others exactly what it's feeling, what it's sensing, what it's seeing, what it's hearing. Imagine the ears for a moment. The ears doing this remarkable miracle, and that is hearing things of high-pitched tones and low sounds, or deep voices and high-pitched voices, or hearing screams, or hearing someone laughing, or hearing different sound waves, or whatever. And guess what? The ears are letting and alerting the whole body exactly what it is that it's hearing. And so, good news for you today. On this one scripture alone, good news for you. You are part of the body. It doesn't matter what you do, who you are, what you feel. You know, it doesn't matter what you feel your gifts or your talents are. Guess what? You are needed. And when the body decides to stand in a place of judgment or condemnation or being its own judge, that's a great analogy, a great, you know, way of looking at it, is being its own judge and feeling as if it has cast you out, or there's no use for you, or we don't feel like you belong here, or you're not one of us, so to say, then guess what it does? It actually hurts itself. And when my natural body tells my ears, I don't need you anymore, we're tired of hearing, then guess what? Then you damage the side of you from ever hearing anything high or low or unusual or different or beautiful. You know, beautiful. Could you imagine being in a concert hall? I love going to symphonies. I love going to the Alabama Theater to see, movies or theatrics or even opera, you know, any type of music or concerts, any type of genre of music or whatever. I love to hear that. But could you imagine being in a concert hall and hearing this amazing orchestra or symphony playing this, let's say Beethoven? Could you imagine just the sound that it makes and just this beauty of awe? You know, you just sit and stand in awe of what you're listening to. Imagine the body would never ever feel that, would never sense it, never hear it. They would never know what it is the ears were hearing, because they sort of shun the ears. So guess what? Every time that we shun someone that we feel is different from us, that we feel is just not part of us, because we stand in the place of judging them, we miss and cut off an aspect of diversity that we so desperately need in the body. And so that's why I let people know, first and foremost, before we continue, first and foremost, don't cut off, you know, the part that you desperately need. And even though you might feel you don't need it, maybe you feel as if it's not right, maybe you feel, you know, you don't understand it, it doesn't matter. It's not your place to understand. Could you imagine the leg? Now imagine, for example, imagine the leg trying to figure out what it is that the tongue is tasting. Could you imagine the tongue tastes stuff bitter, it tastes stuff sweet, tastes stuff hot or cold? And, you know, could you imagine the leg? Now think about it for a moment, folks. The leg is probably thinking, oh, you know what, that's against how I believe, because I don't know what that's like. I couldn't imagine. What on the earth is taste? You know, what do you mean when you taste something? I mean, what does that have to do with anything? You know, that's not important. You know, that's just wrong thinking, wrong theology. That's wrong. You know, that's not biblical. I don't taste anything, because guess what? The leg doesn't understand it. And just because the leg cannot understand what the tongue is sensing or tasting, I should say, then guess what? It doesn't make it wrong. It actually makes it a part of it that it can learn from the other one, and the tongue can learn from the leg. Think about it for a moment, folks, because it's all one, and you cannot cut off something that you're one with. And sometimes you might feel as if, well, I'm not really one with that, because I can't figure it out, I can't understand it. It doesn't matter. It's not your place to figure it out. I think the main problem in the body of Christ, I would say the main issue that I see that most people that act like they're so faith-filled, you know, this is where they miss it the most, is they're not really faith people, simply because of the fact things they do not understand, they cast out. And just because someone is different from you doesn't mean that they're wrong. You know, in fact, that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's also the evidence of things not seen, which means just because you don't see it doesn't make it not real. Just because you can't hear it doesn't mean it's not putting out a sound. Just because you don't understand how it functions or flows or how they're acting, or you can't figure out why they're that way or whatever, guess what? Doesn't make them wrong. You know, sometimes the greatest thing in the kingdom of God is walking by faith to where, you know what, I'm commanded to walk in the peace of God. Now, here's where I want to also take this to another level. I'm commanded to walk in the peace of God. Jesus said He is the Prince of Peace. The word peace in the Greek means what? Nothing missing, nothing broken. So therefore, when I walk in the peace of God, that means the Bible says that basically from the Greek word is I'm whole. Okay? Now, one of the things that God also says in His Word is God said, I will give you the peace that will surpass your natural understanding. What does peace have to do with my understanding? What does peace have to do with the way I'm thinking? Because He's letting you know, just because you do not understand something, and your brain will rack your brains out, folks, trying to understand something that you just can't figure out. You will rack your brains of trying to figure out, why is this person this way? Why does this person feel this way? Why is this person attracted to this or that person, or why does this person want to do that? Why does this person want to be an attorney? Why does this person need to do, you see what I'm saying? Why is this and that? And guess what, folks? He's letting you know, take upon me my peace. Take upon me my peace. Peace basically is what? Nothing missing, nothing broken. Which means peace says, you know what? You're whole, and maybe the situation you're viewing is whole, but maybe you just need time to chill out. Maybe you need to realize that your brain is trying to figure it out and understand it. But when your brain tries to figure out something, folks, here's where people miss it. When your brain tries to figure things out, why do we want to figure things out? Because it brings a comfort to us. It brings a false peace, because we feel, if I can just figure it out, I'll be more comfortable with them. If I can just figure that person out, I will be able to, or understand them more, I'll be able to do this more. And what you're saying is, I need a common ground, or I need a comfort zone. I need to feel it's okay. You see what I'm saying? But yet faith says it doesn't matter. And faith says, because what matters is faith is something you cannot figure out, you cannot understand. That's why it's called faith. And yet peace is a great thing that God gives us, because He says, I'll give you the peace. In other words, I'm giving you wholeness. If peace means nothing missing, nothing broken, God is saying, I'm giving you wholeness over the things that you don't have to figure out or understand, and let it go. You know, I think if the church could find itself saying, you know what, I might not understand you, I might not really can figure you out, I'm going to understand exactly how you function, how you flow, but you know what, it doesn't matter. It's not my business to understand you. It's not my business to figure you out. It's my business to walk in peace, to know that I'm whole, and then that peace can override the wholeness of what God said that He's given me, can override anything that I do not understand. And guess what, folks? That's how you live and more than a conqueror. That's how you become victorious in Christ, is you walk by faith and not by sight, the Bible says. Sight also is another word that deals with understanding and deals with all this other stuff. So it's time that we begin to understand that you are accepted in the body of Christ. Now you might say, wow, okay, you know, I thought this was this teaching on this broadcast was more about the good things of God. And it is. But I wanted to bring this point up to you because I want you to understand exactly that you are loved and you are accepted in the kingdom of God. And God is letting you know, guess what? Good news for you is that you are accepted in the beloved. And that's what the scripture even says. Now, one verse I want to bring to you is also 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Now, many of you, I know, have heard this before. Many of us have quoted it a billion and one times. And it says, He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, one of the things I also want to bring out on, does God want good things for us, is yes. Not only is He saying, yes, you are accepted in your diversity, yes, you are accepted because of who I created you to be and what gifts and talents you have as well, yes, 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 but also, the also good thing I'm going to give to you is my grace. I want to let you know, no matter what you're going through, you might feel weak, you might feel lame, you might feel paralyzed, you might feel as if, you know what, nothing's going right for me, but it's okay. Because even in that moment, I'm letting you know my grace is sufficient for you. Isn't it great to know, folks, God doesn't require us to be perfect? Isn't it great to know that God doesn't require us to always feel as if we are the strong man, the strong person that can override, you know, anything and destroy anything that's weak? Isn't it great to know that we feel, you know, sometimes we have to put on this mask, you know, to feel like we're tough as nails and strong as ever? But yet God is letting you know you don't always have to be. Because my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so even when you're weak, guess what? It's okay, because my strength comes to you when you're weak, and it's going to come to you in the place of grace to let you know my grace is sufficient. My grace can override anything and everything, which is letting us know, you know what, that even when you're weak, it's okay. I'm still going to give you grace. When you feel strong, like it, if you feel like you can, you know, move thousands of mountains, it's okay. My grace is still there. And that's the great thing about grace. What is grace? It's God's unmerited favor upon us. It's that place where God says, I accept you. I accept you. You have favor in my sight. I accept you. Your love, I accept you. And grace is letting you know right here and there that, you know what, no matter who you, how you feel, no matter what you're going through, no matter sometimes if you want to scream, no matter sometimes if you just want to get mad at God because maybe, you know, the one that you've been praying for so long died and you can't figure it out and you're asking why. I remember just the other day I'd spoken to a lady that, you know, she had a prophetic word, she did this, she did that. She said, you know, I prayed, my friend, we prayed so hard. I quoted every scripture known to man in that scripture about healing and she died. I mean, and she was even standing in faith and you hear these stories a lot, and she said, it just shakes my faith. I can't understand it. You know, and one of the things I let her know is it's okay. It's okay. It's okay sometimes to let go of things we just don't get. It's okay to let go of things we just don't understand. And here's the other thing. It's okay to cry. It's okay to feel weak at times. Because in that place of weakness and frailty and misunderstanding and that place of not really getting it, guess what? It's okay. My grace is sufficient for you. Are you with me? And he goes on to say, what, my strength is made perfect in that weakness. In that weak moment you're in, that's when my strength begins to come in to you. And that's a great thing. So the second thing God does for us that's good is his grace is always there for us. It's always sufficient. And his strength is made perfect even when we feel weak and lame and paralyzed. Now then, another one I want to give to you that deals with the first one is peace I live with you, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives it, but how I give it. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So he's letting you know right here, don't be afraid. Don't be troubled, because I can give you something the world just can't give you. They might give you a sense of false peace, and that false peace deals with a sense of something maybe you owe them, something of that will come back to bite you. But yet God is letting you know, my peace I live with you. And I'm going to leave with you not as the world would give to you. I'm going to leave with you with nothing in return. In other words, all you've got to do is just trust me. You just trust me, and my peace will override anything and everything in your life. So the other thing God gives us that's good is the feeling and the sense of he is there, and he is going to cause us to be made whole again, and that peace will override anything and everything in our lives that we go through. Now, another thing I really love about the things of God's kingdom is the last one I love to do is or say is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And everyone knows the scripture. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called, who are the called according to his purpose. So guess what, folks? All things work together. And one thing I always say is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because it says all things. And the word all means all. All things. I remember the scripture that I tell people all the time. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The word all, folks, A-L-L, means everything. Everyone. All means all. Okay? And here is letting you know right here and there that we know that all things work together for the good. And so we have to remember that God says, I'll take everything in your entire life and I'll cause everything to work out for your good. Everything to work out for your good. Guess what? Because I am going to get the glory from it. And again, it says what? It says, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And if you know that you're in the body, then you what? You're called. And knowing that you're called, God is letting you know the good thing I'm going to send to you is that everything is going to work out for you. No matter what you're going through, you might feel as if at times, you know what? I lost my job. My wife left me. My husband left me. You know, my kids are on drugs. Or maybe this one. Maybe it's not even really a bad thing, but maybe you're that mother or that father that feel as if that you're sort of abandoned because now all my kids, I'm used to being a mother for so long. I'm used to playing the daddy role, you know, and all of a sudden my kids go to college or they get married and now it's just me and my spouse at home. We're just sitting here by ourselves and that fathering daddy role that I played and the mothering, you know, role that I played, and it's not there anymore. I don't have to, you know, cook dinner anymore at nighttime, and no more kids are going to come to me and ask me, you know, to explain to them geometry, or it's just not there anymore. I'm not washing clothes for my kids anymore. And so I know a lot of people I talk to in life coaching who come to me all the time and say, you know, I don't know my identity anymore. I don't know where I belong. I don't know exactly what to do anymore because, you know, my kids are no longer in the nest and they're gone, and it's, what do I do? You know, and here's what I tell them. First and foremost, you know, your role is far bigger than just a mom and a dad. And as awesome as that is, but that doesn't define you. It doesn't define you to be even just this or that. You know, it doesn't define you to be an attorney. It doesn't define you to be a mom. It doesn't define you to be a dad. It doesn't define you to be a prophet. It doesn't define you to be an apostle. It doesn't define you to be a social worker. What defines you is that Christ says, in Him we live, we move, we have our being. He says, through me you can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In other words, He's letting you know that guess what? You are unlimited. Anything and everything you ever want to imagine, think, or do, you think from the standpoint of being unlimited, not limited. Limitation is when you take on the role of being a mother. Limitation is when you take on the role of being an attorney. But unlimited means what? It means not only am I that, not only am I mom or dad, I'm also this and this and this and this, and I'm even things I haven't even tapped into yet. And if I decide to change my major in school, if I decide not to have kids, if I decide to go on it for my kids to get grown and have their own kids, guess what? Then I can become a grandmother. I can become a grandfather. I can become, you know, a social worker when I used to be an attorney. You know, why not? People can do whatever they want to do. You know, I can travel the world if I want to. I can be an entrepreneur if I want to. You can be and do anything and everything, folks, in life you decide to do. Whatever you desire to do that God is telling you from His will to do, folks, guess what? You already have the privilege, the honor, and the gifts, and the power, and the anointing, and the authority to do it and to be it. And so He's letting you know what? That all good things flow down from the Father of lights, and in me there's no shadow of turning. Folks, can I tell you the goodness about God? The goodness about God is God desires. He wishes above all things you'd prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. He is letting us know by His Word that there are good things in store for you. And sometimes when, you know, the world, and sometimes right now we're seeing some of these doom and gloom, you know, prophets, you know, people that are seeing, you know, how bad our country is and how bad the world is and how bad the president is and how bad, you know, the election is and it just, you know, evil, 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 evil. Everybody's bad. Everything's bad, bad, bad. But, you know, folks, the Bible says the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. Think about it. The Bible says we go from glory to glory. I mean, there are so many scriptures, folks, that let us know, sure, the world's getting bad. Sure, people are dying. I mean, we had a friend of mine just last month who, him and his wife and kids went to church with us, and very sweet people. He was actually a veteran, you know, just amazing. Young guy. I'm talking like in his early 30s, folks. And yet, at his house, outside of his home, he was shot and killed by a young African-American man, and just shot and killed. And you know why? Because this kid and these other kids that were his, I guess, friends, they were going around and they were stealing things out of people's cars. And just my friend Mike happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and just got shot right outside of his home, in front of his front door, folks. And you know, you look at that and you think, God, that's tragic. It's horrible. And it is. But, you know, even the attitude of his wife turned it around for her good. Because she chose, even if it was devastating, she's young, here they are with small children under 5 years old, folks. You know, and you're thinking, my gosh, I mean, how can life get any worse? But then you look at that and you think, you know what? She had an opportunity to change it around. She had the opportunity to change it around and say, you know what? Sure, it was bad. Sure, it was tragic. Yes, I lost my husband. My kids lost their dad. But you know what? You know what she said on the news? That night on the news, I was so proud of her. Because she said, you know what, and she cried, and she said, I want to find that kid who shot my husband. She said, that was just a mere child, and I would actually tell him how much I love him. and how much that, you know what, he's loved by God. And yet, you know, at a time like that, if it was my spouse, I mean, how many of you out there would say, man, I want the kid locked up for life? And you know what, the kid's going to get locked up for life. We know that already. But you know, she could have taken the approach of, I just want to scream at him, I want to punch his lights out, I want to shoot him, you know. She could have taken the approach of anything. And you know what, folks, in her attitude would have been really like anyone else's. And she would have every right to feel the way she did. Every single right to feel the way she did. But she chose a different path. She chose a higher call, a higher path. And that is that love conquers. And yet mercy triumphs over judgment. I think the book of James says, mercy triumphs over judgment. And folks, guess what? There's good things in God's kingdom towards us. And all we have to do is choose. You might not be like my friend who lost her husband. You might not feel, well, maybe my life is worse than that. Maybe my life is not so bad now. You know, but either way, no matter what you feel, folks, we have the opportunity to choose this day whom we will serve. And yet, guess what? I choose today to serve and to believe the report of the Lord. I choose to serve God. I choose to believe the report of God, not the report of man or the doctors or the hospitals, because I know that my God has the last say-so. And so, folks, today, I want you to walk away from this broadcast knowing God really does love me, and there really are good things for me. And God hasn't thrown me out. You know, people might have thrown me out. People might not, you know, people might have turned their backs on me, or people might have, you know, made me feel like I'm some kind of reject or a piece of the puzzle that doesn't belong. But folks, guess what? You're a masterpiece in God's kingdom. You're a piece of the puzzle that fits so uniquely and so beautifully into this huge picture of the kingdom of God's, the whole picture. And guess what? Without you, man, let me tell you something, folks. It doesn't matter what you feel, what you look like, what you believe in the sense of, you know, what, that you feel God's created you to be in. It doesn't matter. God has wonderfully and fearfully created you, the Bible says. You are a masterpiece in the sight of God. And God loves you. He chose you before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. So guess what, folks? He has good things, yes, even for you. And when you feel sometimes that you are beneath others who maybe know more Bible than you, you know, I've had people tell me, wow, Jeremy, I mean, when you prophesy, I mean, it's just like, wow, I wish I could do that. Or people always say, when you do sermons, I mean, you just spat out scriptures like crazy. I wish I knew the Bible that way. And can I tell you something? God says that in Him we can do anything. He says, in me, that nothing is impossible for you. But here's the great thing I want you to know. It doesn't matter if you know what I know or what I don't know. It doesn't matter if you prophesy greater or you prophesy worse than me. It doesn't matter. What matters is that, you know what? God loves you equally like He does me and everyone else. God accepts you equally like He does me and anyone else. And so come to this place today. Do you understand you are who you are by the kingdom of God? And you're needed, you're wanted, you are desired by God. And there's a lot of people in the body of Christ you haven't met yet that desperately loves you. And the greatest thing about the kingdom of God, I'll close with this, is that God has so many good things in store for you you haven't even tapped into yet. And so always know that today is not the ending. It's just the beginning of the dawning of a new day for you in your life. By the way, I want to encourage each and every one of you. We just put out our brand new school recently. It's called School of Dreamology. And all those dreamers out there, hey, lift your hands, because if you're one that dreams, I want to encourage you, go to the website, identitynetwork.net, and just look up School of Dreamology. We have a digital download course that's going to give you and offer you, I think, 10 to 14 teaching modules. It's going to give you one of my latest books on entering the dream dimension. You're going to get a lot of stuff. It's going to be very beneficial and empowering to you. We want to be able to cause your dreams to not just come alive in you, but for you, for the reality of those dreams to happen within your life. And I want to teach you and train you how to see the settings, the characters, the background, the forefront, everything about your dreams, to let you know exactly, you know, what God is trying to relate to you in your dreams. So go right now to identitynetwork.net, put in School of Dreamology in our search engine, pull it up and purchase it today as a digital download course or a hard copy course. You will be glad you did, folks. Have yourself an amazing day in Tronic's broadcast. Know how much you're loved and know how much God wishes and blesses you with good things of His kingdom. God bless.